Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Glory. Yeah, man. Glory to God. Yes. You know, in that place, you get to that place where who cares? So what? All that matters is his presence. All your worries melt away, all your concerns, all your fears, all your garbage and your dirty laundry. It gets cleaned. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, is everybody there? In verse 11, let's read it. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own. That word affections means emotions. You are restricted by your emotions. You are bound. You're in bondage because of your emotions. You're allowing your emotions to dictate your life. Jesus said anyone who's willing to be his disciple and follow him must hate his mother, sister, brother, wife, husband, everything. In other words, he's got to be one. He's got to be the one we chase after, nothing else. Why? Because he can't trust anyone that lives by emotions. He knows that person will always be swayed, misled. It brings restrictions. Feelings bring restrictions to people. There's three feelings we want: peace, joy, and righteousness. Amen? He said, now in return for the same, I speak to you as children, because you're not there yet. So you also be open to what I've got to tell you, he said. He says, look, don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Now, the word believe means to what? Follow. So don't be unevenly yoked. Even though they say they're a Christian, they say they're believers, but if they ain't followers, don't yoke with them. Because in the eyes of God, a person that doesn't follow and says he's a believer is a liar. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? See, a person says that they are a believer but not a follower is one who practices lawlessness. Because that person is rebellious. That's lawlessness. And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Belial is what we call the high-ranking demon, the ruler over the flesh. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? People have idols. People's children, spouses, jobs, everything. All kinds of stuff can be a person's idol. Even themselves can be an idol. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now, you got to remember, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He's writing not to unbelievers, but supposedly believers. He's correcting them because he's saying, you're out of divine order. And if you're out of divine order, the divine character, the nature cannot be expressed. You cannot walk in divine power, and you can't have divine favor. And he's trying to get them in line. He says, look it. I will dwell with you. I'll walk among them. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people if you'll do this. Therefore means if you'll do this. If you will come out from among them, if you'll stop hanging with them and stop acting like the world, and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean. What's unclean? Anything that's of the world that's unclean. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, touching agreement, hanging with those that are unbelievers, because association brings impartations. Don't touch what's unclean with your eyes, ears, heart, mouth, hands, thoughts. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll bring you to a place where no man has gone before. And I'll be your daddy, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That is a covenant promise with us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, yes. come out from among them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No. I'll tell you the name in a second. In verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read it. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of what? Now, let me explain to you what servants of Christ is. We are servants to the anointing. The anointing doesn't serve you. When you try to get the anointing to serve you, you have grieved the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? We are servants to the anointing. The anointing doesn't serve us. We serve the anointing. Has everybody got that? Okay, now what does it say? So let a man so consider us as servants of Christ or servants to the anointing, and look at, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let me explain that. Stewards, that means we are servants to the anointing, and the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, carried by the Holy Spirit. And we are stewards, we are managers and distributors of the mysteries or the secrets of God through revelation. So what he's connecting is the anointing and revelation, mysteries, things that are unknown that God wants to reveal to his children. That's why Paul wrote so much in here, because he knew how to tap in to the place of revelation where the mysteries of God were released to him. And he was able to write them down. Is everybody okay? Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. So if you're not faithful, is God going to release things to you? No. But with me, it was very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. We are to be seekers of his mysteries. In other words, if we are seekers of his mysteries, we are seekers of his presence, and we are to be lovers of his presence, and in that, we love the anointing of God. We love not only the eternal presence, power, but truth of the person through the Holy Spirit. So we are to be stewards of his mysteries. Has everybody got it? Say stewards of his mysteries. That is a powerful, powerful responsibility as servants to the anointing. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Verse 2, read it with me. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Does everybody see the difference here? So what is he trying to say? There's another wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So see, many people are trusting in man's wisdom, which can easily be swayed, manipulated, and disintegrated. But the wisdom that comes from above is different. And it is the wisdom that is associated with the mysteries of God. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Why? Because many don't get it. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. In a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for whose glory? Our glory. It's been waiting for us, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it's written, eyes not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has what? Revealed them to us through his Spirit. Through the what? The anointing. Why? Because we are servants to the anointing. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. But not everyone gets that. These things we also speak, not in words that which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, who is known as the anointing, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So when the enemy gets you in a carnal state of being, you can't receive the things of God. When you're in the flesh, you can't get nothing. Believe me, I've been there. Man, when you're in the flesh, you might as well just go lock yourself up in the closet, hang up for a while until you get reunited. Amen? So all of these things are revealed by the Holy Spirit, the wisdom that carries the mysteries through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing. So it's our responsibility to search these things out. These are things that are unknown that God begins to reveal. The Bible says something very powerful. Jesus said, call me and I'll show you mighty things that you know not of. That means we search these things. In Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Start at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by what? Revelation. He made known to me the what? The mystery as I have briefly written already. Through revelation. In other words, Paul was not sitting home twiddling his thumbs. He wasn't just out making tents. There was times when he was seeking the Lord. By which you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He had another knowledge. He spoke another language that people didn't even understand. He had access to the second chamber of the tabernacle. Does everybody understand that? In fact, he even went to the third chamber. Because each chamber has a purpose, has a revelation, has a specific anointing, and a language. It says, which in the other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ, in the anointing through the gospel. Which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Again, I want you to look at everything is associated with the anointing. Eternal presence, power, truth. Eternal presence, power, truth of God Almighty. Jesus was the manifestation in the natural realm of the eternal presence, power, and truth. In verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the what? Eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Revealed, these mysteries, these are eternal secrets. Mysteries are eternal secrets with an eternal purpose. A mystery is what? An eternal secret with an eternal purpose. In Colossians chapter 1. Glory. Man, I still sense the anointing from worship. Phew. Open the heavens. What? Pour out your spirit. Yeah. Woo! Where am I going? Colossians. Verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. We go to Colossians in case it starts raining. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in all the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Man, see, Paul grabbed something. He said he knew that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. So he counted his afflictions joy. Okay, what's next? He looked at his afflictions as an opportunity to witness and express the character of Christ. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, his children. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, the anointing in you, and the hope of glory. In other words, there is a hope of the glory of God. The anointing that's in us is what connects to the eternal realm. And in this place, flesh cannot enter. Self cannot enter. Our desires can't enter. Our will can't enter. It's a place where he draws you in as you've entered the second chamber of the tabernacle and you are invited into the third. And as you are invited into the third, there are really no words that can be said. There's nothing that can be said. That's all that can be done is received. Revelation is released by impartation and vision. Majority of the time, it's not words. See, if you haven't reached that area in your life at some point, God wants you to. He wants you to get to that place where you don't have to ask. You know. Amen? You know. That's where it's so required that he says, even Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they be one with me as I am one with you. It's a oneness. It's an area where no words are expressed. It's a knowing of each of his character that you know what pleases, displeases, what's up. You know what's coming. Then you see. And when you see these things, it's not an area where you are yoked with things that are unholy. It's not a place where you're yoked with a false hope or assumption. It's a place where you are yoked with eternity. That's the reality. The reality that nothing here matters. The reality that this is not your home. The reality that there is no fear of death. It doesn't matter. Christ in you to a perfect man. Christ in you to a perfect man. Oh, praise God. Is everybody okay? If I take off, just finish. Verse 28, we preach warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Glory. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. Is everybody okay? Are you all drunk or what? Matthew 13. Open the heavens wide. In verse 1, would you read it with me? On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. I love this because he didn't say listen. Because, see, many people listen but don't hear. They're the ones that go, yeah. Woo. The only thing they're listening to is wind. But they're not hearing because when you hear, you receive. And when you receive, you put it to use. Amen? In verse 10, And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables, or what we call parallels? Because he spoke to them in vision so they could understand the things of the spirit realm. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries. He's telling those who are following him, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you realize the honor that's been given to us? Do you realize how many times this honor is trampled, forsaken, not taken seriously? You know, one of the things the Lord says is when people don't take things seriously to heart, the things that he blessed them with will become cursed. When things are not taken seriously to heart, what he blessed you with, he will put a curse on. Is everybody all right? And he answered, said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, of heaven, but to them it is not. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing do they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, again, I want you to understand this, that Jesus at one point in time said, look, there's a lot of things I got to tell you, but you're not going to understand them yet because you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But there was something that they did when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They knew that they needed to stay in divine order because the enemy wants to drain us. He wants to wear us down. And look, I don't care what you're doing. It doesn't matter what, where, how, when. You can stay filled and refreshed all the time. The word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. In other words, you seek, you find, you get filled. Amen? You get filled. You stay filled. So you got to keep making contact with the other side. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Quote scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. Always, what does the Lord say? Acknowledge me in all of your ways. And I will what? Establish your steps. Commit to me your works, and I'll establish your thoughts. Amen? So as we continue to obey and stay in divine order, we stay filled. Why? Because then we're dressed with the anointing. And let me tell you, the enemy can't touch you. But he makes paper airplanes and throws them at you. And people pick them up and read them and go, oh! Then the enemy accesses them because they agree with what they just read. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. In verse 8, Psalm 25, verse 8, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. To such as keep his what? Keep his what?
Covenant.
Keep his covenant. Keep his covenant and his testimonies. Two things, covenant and testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Now look at verse 14. Read it with me. The secret of the Lord is with those who what? Fear him. Reverence, honor, and respect. In other words, that in that, exactly what he is speaking in this, because if there's a reverence and honor and respect, those who fear him, that means the Lord is always before them. No matter what they do, the Lord is always before them. Does everybody understand this? David said, I always see the Lord before me. That's relationship. If the Lord is not before you, that you're not in relationship. You're in long distance. In other words, no matter what you're doing, you're always acknowledging the Lord. Lord, which way do I go here? How do I do this? Oh, Lord, you know what I just did? Yes, I know you know what you did. Forgive me. Sorry. Forgive me for being in the flesh. Why? He's always there. Always there. Always there. That's relationship. Always there. He's always before us. His eyes are always on us, and your eyes are on him. I look at it as having one eye in him, one eye around. You got to go watch the serpents that fly around and stuff, try and snare you. Always on the Lord. The secrets of the Lord which is the mysteries of the Lord, are revealed to them who what? Fear him. Does everybody see that? Amen? Is everybody all right? Oh, glory. Let's go. I'm going to finish 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will what? Show them his what? Covenant, his promises. My eyes are ever toward the what?
The Lord.
For he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Look at, if your eyes aren't on the Lord, your feet's going to get stuck in the net. You'll be easily snared, easily swayed, easily deceived, easily manipulated. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Let me tell you one of the things that will take your eyes off the Lord. Your emotions. Because emotions bring you to you. That's a ploy of the enemy. Oh, I was hurt. I've been rejected. Oh, woe is me. Does everybody understand? I've been offended. I. That's how the enemy gets you to you. Take your eyes off the Lord, and then he sets a snare for you. And the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you and tell you, but your emotions are dictating your walk, your thoughts, and your desires, and you can't hear what the Holy Ghost is saying now. Lust is an emotion. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are things that will keep the eyes off the Lord. Proverbs 29, are we there? In verse 18, would you read it with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off the restraints of the flesh. There's no more restraints on the flesh. But happy is he who keeps the law. Why? Because a person then, because he's not getting revelation, it isn't refreshing. It's like running out of gas or gas turning bad in your car. It doesn't move the way it should move. It becomes sluggish, lazy, compromised, complacent. It loses its thirst and hunger. It loses its salt, loses its flavor. And it becomes to go slow. It begins actually to take longer. And in that, it gives the enemy more opportunity to set more traps. And so you may be trying to come out of one trap and constantly stepping in another, and in another, and in another. And you wonder where God is. Well, he's been before you the whole time. That's when you got to repent and stretch out your hands. Lord, pull me out of this snare. Forgive me for everything I've done. And put me on solid ground. Amen? Put me on solid ground. Grant me revelation so I can be refreshed, encouraged, and a thirst and hunger can come back for your presence. No revelation, no impartation, no reality. People remove the strengths of carnality then, and they look now for the carnal world for fulfillment. So what they try to do is work more, play more, drink more, party more, go to more things, try to do more things. The problem is God ain't in it. So what we do is we step back and for revelation. You know, one of the worst things we could do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Stewards of the mysteries. What a responsibility. Hey, it isn't that difficult. Now Paul wrote most of them down. But there are specific ones for you and only for you. In verse 6, is everybody there? Ephesians 5, verse 6, let's speak it together. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Because what's going to happen? It's going to bring a snare to you. You're not willing to expose it? Then God's going to expose you. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Let me share with you also that even in the mysteries, when there's revelation, where there's revelation, there is light. Because it brings an impartation in you of light. What you are now happening is you're becoming more clothed with glory. You're becoming more clothed with the habitation where you came from. And that's why your desire is more and more of God's presence. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly, but not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Why? Because if you're doing that, you're staying in contact. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another with the what? Fear, reverence of God. Why? Because he's in front of you. Always in front of you. Colossians chapter 2. Everybody okay? Stewards of his mysteries.
Hallelujah.
Verse 1. Okay. No, we went there already. I'm sorry. It's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Glory. In verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Let's speak it. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, this is powerful. Paul has this revelation known as the rapture. And you got to remember in all of this that the book of Revelation, amen, that was written, why do you think it's called Revelation? It's a complete mystery. And it has symbols and all signs and symbols and language that must be understood. Not everyone can understand the book of Revelation, even though it's set in certain sequences. Why? Because it's revealed to me and you by the Holy Spirit. This word is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, there'll be illumination, but when there's revelation, it comes directly from the throne of God. Not that there won't be illumination from the word, but there's times when God gives you revelation of something that's, whoa, it comes from him. Is everybody all right? Okay. Glory. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, in the book of Ephesians, I'm not going to go there. One of the great mysteries is marriage. I still can't figure it out. But in that, it's an expression. Because God is speaking about Jesus, the bride, and the body of Christ. I mean, Jesus, the bridegroom, and the body of Christ being the bride of a union, of a specific, powerful mystery to everything's going to end up and result, even through the whole book of Revelation, that there's going to be a marriage supper, the end result of all mysteries, the marriage supper. Think about that. That's why it says, wives submit to their husbands. And husbands submit to their wives. And the husband is to honor the wife, and the wife is to respect the husband. It is a mystery, but it's an eternal expression of what is coming, and it's going to be the end result of all mysteries, the marriage. And we're in eternity. Yes. Glory. 1 Corinthians 14. Is everybody there? Verse 1. It says what? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? To who? For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he what? Speaks what? mysteries. So when you're praying in tongues, you are praying directly to God, the perfect will of God. In return, he's releasing to you a secret mystery that's going into your spirit. But if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, when it's time to bring that mystery out, you'll miss it. Why? Because if you're caught up in yourself, when it's time to come out, because there's a specific time it will come out, and it's our responsibility to catch it. That's what I call catching anointing, too. Then we miss it, and it's gone. Is everybody all right? So when you're praying in tongues, you pray directly to the Father. You don't understand it. Why? Because the devil knows what you think. It's the only thing he doesn't know what you pray is when you pray in tongues. Because you don't know what you're praying, and he don't know what you're praying. But you're praying directly to God, and he's sending back a mystery, a secret mystery, something that he's imparting in you. And in that, you don't know when it's going to come. So we should be a library of mysteries. That's why we are called stewards of his mysteries, the mysteries of God, because they're constantly being imparted in us. So we're a library of mysteries. The whole thing is to stay in tune so that when it's time to come up, we don't miss it. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Go to verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. 15. For what is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the what? Understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the what? Understanding. So we see that when it talks about praying in the spirit, it means speaking in your heavenly language. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 8, I think. Yeah. Somewhere around there. He's talking about those who are desiring to be in authority. A bishop is known as authority. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, I think it is. Or, yeah. 4 and 11, it talks about the offices of the body of Christ. It never mentions bishops. So bishops is just an area of authority. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 8, likewise deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the what? Mystery of the what? Faith. The mystery of the faith with a what? Pure conscience. You know, faith itself is a mystery, isn't it? There are so many definitions of faith out there. It's incredible. And there's no such thing as blind faith, again. That's called assumption. And that's presumptuous sin. Faith is when God speaks to you. You not only hear what he says, but you see what he says, and then you do it. That's called faith. Does everybody get it? You hear, you see, and you do. Again, Jesus said something profound. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first, because he was expressing the mystery of faith. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. I'm just going to hit on a couple of these things here. In verse 18 and 19, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the what? Mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Mystery of the gospel. The word gospel is associated with a message of truth. It's an eternal message of truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. In verse 1, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. It's known as the what? Rapture. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which will happen in mid-tribulation. So most likely the rapture will happen in mid-tribulation. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of what? Lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, which is he is the anointing of the body of the Holy Spirit on the body of Christ. The body of Christ will be removed. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The mystery of lawlessness. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, glory. In verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. How many of y'all know that the Antichrist is alive in here? Amen. But there are many Antichrists. An Antichrist is an unbeliever. It is a spirit. And it can go into anyone, even one who says they're a believer, and promote rebellion. Because rebellion is associated, it's the fruit of presence of Antichrist. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? You know all things. In the anointing. That's why the word says, I can do all things through Christ. What? Which is the what? Anointing. But you know all things. In verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you, in other words, the anointing is teaching us right now. Not this dude, the anointing. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in the anointing, in him. He calls him, because him is Holy Spirit. Amen? Romans 16. There's a lot more, but I'm going to just close this here shortly. 60 more scriptures will be done. I'm only kidding. Did you pack a lunch? Some of y'all brought your own popcorn, I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 25, y'all all right? You having fun? Praise God. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and his presence is fullness of joy. Verse 25, now to him who's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the what? Revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. And I want to close at Ephesians 1. Verse 15. Yes. So if the anointing is there, you're going to know all things. In other words, there's going to be mysteries released to you. It's going to be secrets. You're going to know what's going on. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what's to come if we're just in tune. Verse 15. Let's read it. Therefore, I always, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I want you to look at something powerful, because the word says that the gates of hell will not come against the anointing. So you can't kill the anointing. Jesus could not die. He took on man's sin to access hell. That was his only way in. You couldn't go to hell without sin. So he took all of man's sin to access hell. And the flesh that he had, which was put together by the word, he allowed that to be crucified, destroyed. But he really couldn't die. Does everybody understand that? Even though only he can put himself down. And only he could raise himself up. Because he's the anointing. Does everybody understand that? Take that mystery. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, we just ask that the seed that's been imparted in us tonight be protected by the blood of Christ, that it grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that it bring thirst and hunger to each and every one of us, to want to know more, to want to eat more of your faithfulness and feed on you, to want to see more signs and wonders and miracles, to want to see more of your glory and more of you. Jesus, reveal yourself to us and give us that thirst and hunger that we could chase after you and see you in every decision and in everything we do. Bless your people and seal us with your presence and the anointing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.